This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steerin, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Garrell's Auto Body in Litchfield, and by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the first Saturday of fall. And certainly would have not known that last night with the temperatures before kickoff.
No, really not. And I didn't know what to expect as far as cramping, things like that. We were over at Auburn for the Auburn-North Met game, and both coaching staffs obviously did a great job of hydrating, because there was not one time in the whole game, I'm not sure what you had in Litchfield, but not one time in the whole game where anybody dropped or they had to take a timeout for it.
Litchfield had some cramping last night, but I think that was more an issue of their lack of depth than anything else. But boy, Litchfield competed like the Dickens last night. That game was tied at 33 with 8.5 minutes to go.
I talked to Coach Rince this morning, and he was so proud. You know, as an athletic director, he said at the end of the third quarter, they all kind of talked to each other. They said, we're spent. They'd given all they had and was worried about what might happen in the fourth quarter. But he said then they took it up even a notch from there. So the boys in purple really doing themselves proud.
I had seen them against Carlinville in what I believe was week three, and their growth from that game to last night was phenomenal. Carlinville last night, they improved to 5-0 on the year as they beat Roxana 50-8. And Chad Easterday joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
We're doing very well. Well, you remain the lone unbeaten team in the South Central Conference. Just kind of give us your overview of your win last night against Roxana.
You know, we got out of the gate early, which was very nice to see for our kids. I thought our special teams once again played very well. We had a block punt, an onside kick return for a touchdown, and a punt return for a touchdown. So, you know, when you do those little things like that, and you get the ball rolling, good things will happen to you.
And your guys' special teams have been really your X factor the last number of years, and it's not by accident. You guys put a lot of time in that aspect of the game.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I mean, the head coach is just in love with special teams, so that always helps the cause a lot. But, you know, we try to tell the kids that those are so much important plays for field position and those little unintangible things that don't go in the stat sheet somewhere, that where you can punt the ball, where you can kick the ball, where they start, and all that good stuff. So we like to put, as we talked before, pressure on people all the time to have to coach the entire, every aspect of the game. And our kids have now just started to love it. So, you know, it's very exciting.
Chad, I remember a couple years ago when you started making that transition to the spread offense. You know, there were some ups and some downs with it, as there always is when you're changing schemes like that. But this year's offense seems to be maybe what you had in mind. You got a quarterback who can throw the short passes, throw the deep ball, and you've got a variety of weapons.
Yeah, you know, over the years we've transitioned into different morphing things, and this year we have a receiver core that's pretty balanced. Which we've not had in the past, maybe. All four on any given night can catch a football, take one to the house, that type of thing. So, yeah, it's taken some different looks over the years. And, you know, Jared's doing very well running it and understanding it and those types of things. So, you know, that always helps, too.
I mean, last year is last year, but basically everyone knew Dixon was getting the ball, and he did what he did. But this year, any given snap, who knows who's going to get the ball?
Right, and that's probably one of the biggest changes that we've made as we've learned as the system goes through. You know, you always live in the past. If I knew what I know now last year, would have things been different? I would. Who knows, that type of thing. You always second guess yourself. But you know, we've kept adapting as we go through this process, as every coach does with your personnel and that. And you're right. It's, you know, on any given night, you got to play sideline to sideline and end zone to end zone. So that type of pressure we like to keep up and moving, and then with the up tempo.
Chad, you're on the road next week at Southwestern. That's always a tricky place to go.
Yeah, you know, they've got some different scores that they've seen that are kind of misleading at times, I think. You know, Coach Fricke does a great job. Their receiving core is very good. We played them on 7-on-7 in the summer, and that sort of thing. So, you know, we have a lot of prep to do this week.
Chad, did you guys get through last night healthy?
We got Garrett Campbell got a bumped up ankle, but that's no big deal. I think this morning looked pretty good. You know, overall, we look pretty good. So, obviously, Dan Card, he's out for the season, but he had surgery Friday, and it came through that very, very well. So, we wish him the best. So far, so good.
And I guess he'll still be around the team, will he not, throughout the year?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you could drive him away from sports. He loves them all, wrestling, shot put, football, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, I might have to keep him at home just so I don't have to IC multiple times for swelling with him just being on his feet for the first week. So,
Chad, you guys are off to another fantastic start at 5-0. Best of luck next week at Southwestern, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And the more I see Carlinville put up points, Dan, the more I'm impressed with the Hillsborough defense that held them to 18 points in week one.
Right, and we knew at that time that Hillsborough was probably better than their record was showing, based on that one game, knowing the weapons that Carlinville had and how well they were able to contain them. And Hillsborough's shown that over the last few weeks, and that they were, in fact, that team that we all hoped they could be.
It was a double homecoming last night. Litchfield and Hillsborough both had their homecoming games. Greenville beat Litchfield 49-33. Hillsborough beat Gillespie by the final of 55-8. Other scores in the South Central last night, we mentioned Carlinville over Roxana 50-8. Pena beat Staunton 55-20, and Vandalia over Southwestern 47-26. We're joined on the phone now by Topper head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing well. And, hey, you survived homecoming.
Yes, thank God.
I know that you're always concerned about the focus of your club for that week leading up, but judging by the final score, the focus must have been there.
No, our kids did a great job. You know, we had one practice this week early on that was a little iffy, but after that, I was really proud of our guys. They showed great focus. That's been one of our key words that we haven't done for four quarters yet, and we're starting to put it together. And last night we played very well.
Now, for your defense this year has really done a fantastic job. Gillespie has a lot of different weapons, and to hold them to 8 points is very impressive.
Yeah, our defense is doing a real good job. Coach Stritzel's doing a great job running our D. You know, we've got a good core group of guys back from last year, and we got new guys in there, and we're starting to gel, and we just got to try to keep improving every week.
And I guess that Payton kid is a decent wide receiver, it turns out.
Yeah, he was a nice addition. he is very athletic, a great kid, works hard and does anything you ask him.
When you guys started 0-2, I know there was no panic on your side. They're certainly looking from the outside in. I don't think anybody was making any sort of drastic changes on your expectations for the year, but you have to like the way your team has responded after those first 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, you know, starting 0-2 is rough. You know, in the game of football, you had to wait a whole week to get that next game, next chance in, and, you know, it's hard. But our kids have stayed positive. You know, the next couple games on our schedule aren't going to be easy ones. Well, heck, no game is, you know, in the conference. So we play Pena, a real good ball club, this coming week.
And then you got Greenville the following week. But this Pena matchup, there's been the last few years, it came down when you guys were playing in week nine, the winner would get into the playoffs. And you and Pena, that's going to be a physical ball game.
Yeah. Our kids do play physical. You know, I'm very proud of them. You know, we practice like that. We go after each other at practice. We don't lay off and, you know, go half shells or whatever that. We get after each other, and I think it shows on Friday nights. But Payne is going to be a good ball club. They got a very, very good quarterback that does a lot of good things for them.
As you look at your team now through 5 weeks of the season, Duffy, how would you assess it?
You know, two losses, you know, don't like those two losses, but I'm proud of our kids facing some adversity, and we're starting to get a lot more team unity, you know, working together, gelling together. We're starting, you know, to communicate better. So I'm very happy right now, you know, but as a coach, you're never happy 100%. So happy right now, but we're just going to keep improving.
Not satisfied.
Right. Never.
Duffy, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Great win last night, and best of luck next week against Pena.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. A lot more to do here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Sports Saturday returns on this Saturday morning, WSMI FM 106.1, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you so much here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball tonight from Pittsburgh, 5:10 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. With the Cubs win over the Brewers last night, the Cardinals have leapfrogged Milwaukee in the Central Division, but more importantly, in that wild card race. There is now no team between the Cardinals and the Rockies. Cardinals a game and a half back of Colorado, just one in the lost column. So we'll see if the Cardinals can surprise a lot of folks after they got swept last weekend in Wrigley. I wrote them off.
Yeah, I did too. And they really responded well to that. And they've got some young kids. That new young pitcher that came in the other night, Sandy. Sandy's his first name.
Oh, Alcantara.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. That kid's got some nasty stuff.
I tell you what, their youth, whether it's the pitching, this Bader kid,
Bader.
The future is very bright.
Very bright. Very bright. And they got some kids down in the minors that they're just really excited about trying to figure out how to make space for them. So they're going to have some cap room and space for these young guys.
See if they can get in. 5:10 tonight from Pittsburgh, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. Let's run down some more of the scores from last night. We've given you the South Central scores. In a non-conference game last night, Nokomis beat Madison 7-6, so a good win for the Skins there. In the Prairie State Conference last night, South Mac, a very good win on the road. They beat South Fork 24-16. Alton Marquette beat Pawnee 42-6. Wood River over Dupo 60-6. In the Sangamo Conference, a game you heard on FM 106, Auburn beat North Mac 56-35. Williamsville rolls on. They beat Plains 46-7. Athens over Pittsfield 50-18. Marrora Forsyth over Porta 56-6. And New Berlin beat Riverton 41-14. Dan, just a few thoughts. You saw the North Mac Auburn game last night. And really, ever since North Mac became a school, that rivalry with Auburn has really been pretty intense from the get-go, and usually good ball games.
It really was. And we were, even though it was a 1-3 versus 3-1 game, we were expecting a great contest, really well played. Dave Bates, we knew we're going to have his kids ready to go. They are in playoff mode now. You know, with 1-3 record, you're playing a playoff game every single week. So we expected them to come out of the chute and really go hard, and North Mac to have to weather some storm. But Auburn just kept applying the pressure and kept pulling away every time. And there were several momentum shifts in the game, but it would always swing very quickly back to the Trojans.
And schedule-wise, it was two tough back-to-back weeks for North Mac with Williamsville and Auburn. But that's life in the Sangamo Conference. I mean, half the conference has stayed ranked more times than not.
And it doesn't get any better. They're going to play a very pesky Pleasant Plains team next week that, just looking at the scores, I've not seen Plains play, but just looking at the scores, they're not going to be an easy out either.
No, they battled Marrora Forsyth a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And knocked off Auburn.
Yeah, no easy nights in the Sangamo Conference.
And
we have seen so far in the South Central, not a lot of easy nights in that league this year either. And going into last night, I can only speak for myself, I was not expecting a close ball game last night between Greenville and Litchfield, just from what I had seen throughout the year. But that's why they play them, Dan. I mean, you just never know. And give Litchfield so much credit. They showed so much moxie last night. Greenville scored on the first play of the game, a 56-yard touchdown. Litchfield goes 3-and-out. Greenville has the ball back, but then Dre Holloway came up with a big interception, and that seemed to kind of settle Litchfield down a little bit, and they got into a nice rhythm after that. So Greenville got the win over Litchfield last night, 49-33. South Mac went up to Kincaid, got a great win over South Fork, 24-16. And Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, joins us on the show right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thanks for joining us this morning. And I know it was a tough week for the South Mac program. A lot of off-the-field things were going on. So with all that considered, you have to love the way that your kids showed up last night and competed.
We did. We had a lot of, we had heavy hearts going into that game, especially on the Bunker Hill side. We lost a young man at our high school, and the whole week it was kind of a tough week to focus mentally, but I was really proud of our guys. They came ready to play, and we came away with a win.
And Brad, I think sometimes we sell high school kids short for how they can respond and galvanize.
Yeah, I agree. I was really impressed with their resiliency, the fact that they, we went to the viewing on Friday afternoon and got on a bus shortly after and drove to South Fork and Kincaid and got ready to play. And, the fact that they could deal with that mentally and come out was a testament to them. They really did a good job.
What were some of the keys in the actual ball game for the Chargers last night?
Well, our defense was our biggest key. They played outstanding football. We shut them out in the second half, and we were in some really bad spots field position-wise. So they rose to the challenge. You know, we had talked about it the last time I was on. The defense is really playing downhill and fast this year, and last night was no different. We gave up the ball right near our own goal line, and they popped an early one in on us. And ever since that, they really didn't do much offensively. If you're familiar with Kincaid, they run that double tight, double wing, and they get off the ball, and they have blocking angles. But our kids did a good job of getting to the football, reading their keys, and wrapping up.
You know, Coach, when you look at longevity and getting deep into a playoff run, which I know it's early to talk about right right now, you know, you got to have that front seven that's physical, which you have. But what I'm actually most impressed with is your back, the back of your defense, and how well you guys play pass defense, how well you defend. Your linebackers can come forward and come forward hard, but they can also get into the hook zones and the flats to play defense. And your defensive backs, I think, are one of the best set I've seen all season.
Yeah, they've done a good job. We had an interception last night. Quinn Kozowski made a great read, picked the ball off. Late in the game, Kincaid was driving, and it appeared that there was a kid wide open in the flat. But Quentin, again, came up with a big play, tipped the ball, kept it out of the kid's hands. So, yeah, they're playing very, very good football right now, and we, you know, hope that continues down the stretch.
Coach, we didn't get to talk to you last week because you played Saturday in Madison, but let's take a step back to week four. What happened in Madison?
Well, they present some very good challenges for us. They're a big physical team. They got athletes that can run really, really well. They did some things defensively, which confused us for a little bit offensively, kind of messed with our line blocking rules a little bit. And they just did enough to win the game. We didn't get off to a very good start. We scored just before the half, took that lead, or took that, 7 point into the halftime, and, kind of came out the second half. We're fighting back, and just, we turned the ball over in a critical situation, and that iced the game. And, you know, I gotta tip my hat to them. They've got a good staff. They've got good kids that can really play ball, and they'll win a few more games before it's over. I saw the Nokomis score last night, and I was kind of shocked that it was such a low-scoring affair because I know both those offenses can put up points.
Yeah, 7-6, Nokomis got the win last night over Madison. You guys are back home next week to play Duple. Will that be in Bunker Hill or Mount Olive?
That'll be in Mount Olive. That's actually Mount Olive homecoming.
Okay.
It's one of two we have on our schedule, and so I know the kids are excited to get back in front of the home fans and play in Mount Olive, and we're hoping for a good turnout, and we've got a lot of work to do. I know Dupo hasn't had a lot of success this year, but they, you know, watching them on film, they do a lot of things really well. And, you know, defensively, it's going to be a challenge for us. And offensively, we've got to come ready to play.
And Brian, a lot of coaches don't like homecoming. You get to do it twice.
Yeah. Well, this last game last night was a homecoming as well. So we have three in a row. We're at South Forks homecoming. And, yeah, homecoming's always a difficult time because you want the kids to have fun. You want them to participate in all the extracurriculars, but you never want to take away from the focus of the game, which to us is the most important thing. But I think our team is, you know, after game five, I think with all the adversity that we faced, going down to Madison with all the events, you know, surrounding the rioting in St. Louis and everything and having to play down there, and then this week with the death and having to overcome that, I think we're mentally in a pretty good place to where focus shouldn't be a problem for us.
Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, thanks for a few minutes of your time today, sir. Great win last night, and best of luck next week.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
All right, the South Mac Chargers, 3-2. Dan, you saw them against Pawnee, and I know you came in the next day very impressed with a lot of different aspects of South Mac.
Yeah, athletically speaking, they are a very, very good football team. They have some things they have to clean up, and it sounds like they're starting to take some measures with that as far as penalties go, but most of them are aggressive, or, you know, which coaches can live with that. We can live with the aggressive penalties, and they're going to be a tough out when it gets late in the season and into the playoffs. I really got a lot of, and like I said, they're back seven. I think as well as they cover the run and as strong as physicals there up front, if they do catch a passing team, they're going to be fine, I think.
Looking at some other scores from last night in the WIVC South, Greenfield Northwestern beat Pleasant Hill 34-30. Calhoun over North Green, 41-15, and Carrollton blanked West Central, 52-0. Well, last night was homecoming for the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and joining us on the phone right now is head coach Tom Priddle. And Coach, you have to be so proud of the way your kids competed last night. That was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. They played really, really well, played really, really hard. I've seen homecoming teams not play as well as they did in the past, and they really stepped it up last night. Couldn't be prouder of the boys. Played a very good Greenville team who's probably going to be playoff bound, and probably had them on the ropes a couple times last night.
Absolutely. Tom, I saw you guys week three against Carlinville, and the growth from your club between that game against Carlinville and last night was exponential.
Yeah, and I keep telling like the coaches and some other people, we didn't run out of heart or pride last night. We just ran out of kids and stamina. So we're going to go back to the drawing board on Monday and look forward to going over to Gillespie and hopefully playing another well-fought game.
I know you got a couple of guys banged up last night, Coach. Anything significant where we need to worry about with the Gillespie game, or is everybody just kind of sore and battered and going to be ready to get back into practice this week?
Yeah, we got a lot of bumps and bruises. I don't think anybody's going to be out for next week. I'll have to get with our athletic trainer on Monday and after she's done evaluating the kids and stuff and see where we're at. But I think mostly just bumps and bruises.
Well, Sam Painter dinged his knee late in that game, and he was really limping around. And, Tom, this is just my opinion, but I think if his knee is good last night late, he runs that ball in instead of throwing that late pick.
Yeah. We look back and at the game and all the I wish it would have happened, so we'd be spending all our time doing that. But Sam being a tremendous athlete that he is, we probably wouldn't have made some of the play calls that we did, but you have to adjust to your backups, and that's the way it goes.
Sam is, such a tremendous athlete. When he gets out on the edge, he's just really hard to catch and bring down.
Sam's probably one of the best athletes in the conference. At least that's my opinion of him.
I agree.
I can't say enough about the kid. Get him in open space. You better be on your horse ready to run him down, that's for sure.
I thought your defense last night, Tom, did a great job against really a very explosive Greenville offense. But your defense had a couple different four and out stands, had that big interception early. A lot of positives last night.
Yep. We did make some pretty significant adjustments over the course of a week, so I can't really say enough about the kids and the way they played with them. They basically learned a new defense and in the course of a week and played really well with it. So,
yep, it was a lot of fun last night for homecoming. That game was tied at 33 with 8.5 minutes to go. Coach, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Best of luck next week at Gillespie.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Tom Priddle, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. And that was a great atmosphere last night, Dan. You can appreciate it as a Litchfield guy.
Oh, and I can. And that's the great thing, that we've had a little bit of a run of some tough luck in football. But our fans come out and they support, and with it being homecoming night and everything. And I talked to Mr. Renz this morning, and he was just ecstatic. He said at the end of the third quarter, he just didn't know if we had anything left. They were just spent. And not only did they come back and play with a similar intensity, they took it up a notch. And he as the former head coach of the Panthers, now athletic director, he couldn't have been more proud of the guys.
And he was the quarterback the last time they beat Greenville, by the way, in 2003.
That's right, wow.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with North Mac head coach Dan Carlson on Sports Saturday.
9:30 on this Saturday morning, and back to Sports Saturday. We rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk. And guys, according to Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News, Ben Marley broke Bud Foster's tackle record last night.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. I knew he was getting close to that. And yeah, if you're passing Bud Foster and anything football related, well done.
Yeah, you've definitely made a name for yourself.
Absolutely. Hey, if you're in the mood for some junior high baseball today, it's sectional play, and they're going to be playing in Raymond. Mulberry Grove will take on Springfield St. Agnes this morning at 11 o'clock in Raymond. So you can get out and check out some junior high sectional baseball today in Raymond. Cardinal baseball tonight, 5:10 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. We're going to catch up with Dave Kane of the State Journal Register at around 9:45. We're still going to talk to Todd Hutchison, the head coach of the Greenville Comets. We'll do that in a few moments. Right now we're trying to make contact with Dan Carlson of North Mac. The Panthers have lost two in a row after a 3-0 start, but And that's, I mean, that's what sports is all about. We saw it last night in the Litchfield-Greenville game. Overcoming adversity, dealing with challenges, that's 99% of athletics in a lot of ways.
Well, absolutely. And we kept talking last night. How many times have we talked about the Auburn football team and said they are the best 1-3 team in the state? They're the best 2-4 team in the state. You know, because their schedule, they have a big sign on their field house where they were second place in the state. They had four losses that year.
Right.
They had four losses in a year that they made it to the – now, yes, Coach Bates really knows how to coach well and get them in the playoffs, but the strength of their conference, the strength of their schedule also speaks loudly to that too. But they, you know, they did not play like a 1-3 team last night, no way. They've got a lot of young kids. I think they got seven sophomores on defense. They have they have several on offense also, but they got a nice core of juniors and seniors that just kind of holds the whole thing together, and they came ready to play.
I mean, and they've got the foundation of that program established to where the expectations are so high that 1-3, no matter how you get there, is not acceptable.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And, you know, the expectations, you know, they're in playoff mode now with a 1-3 record. And I'm not sure how many years Auburn's been to the playoffs in a row, but it's got to be plus 20. And, you know, to be that team that does not make it, you can just tell it's not going to set well with these kids. And they're on a week-to-week basis, and this week anyway, they decided it's not going to be us. We're not going to be the team that lets down the tradition.
And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Dan Carlson. And Coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. Rivalry game last night, just kind of give us your overall thoughts.
Fundamentals, that's, you know, it's kind of been a theme for us is, you know, tackling and blocking. We made adjustments a little too late, you know, and especially against a great coach like Coach Bates up in Auburn, where if you don't stay on top of them from the get-go, it's going to be a long night for you. And, I mean, offensively, we made the adjustments we needed to make, and, you know, you saw that when we began to start moving the ball a lot better, more efficiently in the second half. But, you know, we missed way too many tackles. I think that we had over 20 missed tackles, which is just unexcusable. And, I mean, that's one of the big things is in our defensive style and scheme and everything else like that is that we want to play man-to-man defense against you, and if we can't make the one-on-one tackles, then we can't play that type of defense. And so the kids are fired up to get back after it and work on our tackling and work on our fundamentals. And I mean that's been the key for us the last 2 weeks. So you know, that's one thing that we're getting after. And you know, we're focused on, like last week, we're focused on playing this week. And you know, we had our kids come in. They watched the film. You know, kids had a great discussion amongst themselves on what they need to do, where they need to refocus. And we had some leaders stepping up and taking this by taking the bull by the horns here. So,
Coach, last night I was at the game, and like all great high school football games, momentum plays a big part in the tempo of the game, play calling, and ultimately the result. And it seemed like every time that you guys would wrestle the momentum back from Auburn, Mensch and Bossman especially seemed to find a way of getting open, getting behind the defense, and making big plays. And it's something moving forward I'm sure is going to be a focus as you guys look at weeks to come and getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the key things right there is we knew that those are great players right there, and we need to realize that, and we did realize that, and you know, they just out-athleted us a couple times. You know, we had big momentum swings. I think that the biggest one was is on the first drive of the second half, which I've always been taught is the most important drive of the game, is the fact that we're driving the ball, and then all of a sudden we fumbled the ball on a bad snap when our quarterback went under center. And there was miscommunication on that one. Is you know, it's one of the hard parts of changing a system is I got excited and I started clapping my hands. Well, last year that was the signal for QB sneak. And so our quarterback was a little tired. He wasn't really thinking straight. And so he thought that I was calling a QB sneak. And he saw the result. So, you know, that's on me for not understanding that and not, you know, realizing that the misconception that could have been drawn from that. So, I mean, we have those little kind of errors. We're still trying to iron those things out there in regards to, you know, changing systems and changing the way in which we do things.
You know, there were a couple of momentum shifts like that. Auburn had a fumble on the punt that you guys recovered for your first touchdown. Then Minch fumbled into the end zone for a touchback coming back. And those were all times where you guys really did take advantage of those opportunities and recapture the momentum, which it's got to be great and exciting that, you know, Auburn being a great team with a great coach, you guys were several times able to wrestle back the momentum and move forward and score touchdowns.
There's no doubt about that, you know. To beat a coach like Coach Bates, that's what you need to do. You need to take advantage of every mistake, every miscue that they're going to make, because there's not going to be that many of them. You're not going to have opportunities like you will against other teams, because his team is well coached. He takes it, you know, he sees your weak points and he takes advantage of it immediately. And we saw that last night, and we did not touch the attack, take advantage of those the way that we needed to. We could have swung the momentum. We thought we were going in the right direction. You know, we got the ball back. We scored right before halftime, went down 14-28 into the half. We could have scored on that last drive and made it a one touchdown game. And like you said, we didn't take it. In high school, it's such a heartfelt, such a momentum carried game that, you know, those big plays are just absolutely killer. You know, the second play of the game, when Mitch went out into the backfield, we had a freshman trying to guard him, and, you know, he made a freshman mistake. And, you know, that's on us for putting a freshman against arguably one of the best athletes on the field. And, you know, and not giving him help and not giving him security to, you know, knowing where he was and who he was. So that's our fault. You know, that kid played a heck of a game for doing what we asked him to do and being his first time starting. So we really threw him to the fire, and Brandon Hipscher is going to be one heck of a player for us coming down the line. We also found what we think is going to be a great tool for us and Kyle Faust. So, you know, it was a rough loss. It was very hard to take that loss, especially against a rival team, but, you know, there were a few bright spots, including those two underclassmen.
Dan Carlson, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. Best of luck against Plains next week.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, Dan Carlson from North Mac has the Sangamo Conference loaded up once again. I mean, just every single week. It's just...
And everybody's talking about Williamsville, and for all good reason, but there's a little team just to the west of them called Athens that they're rising up in the 1A rankings, and those kids are... I think they're reading the papers, and they're taking it personally, and they're... I think they've got Williamsville in their crosshairs. That's going to be a great game, I think.
Last night was homecoming for Litchfield, and the Greenville Comets almost walked right into a hornet's nest last night as Todd Hutchison joins us on the phone right now. And Hutch, I've heard you say many times there's no easy games in the South Central Conference, and boy, that was on display last night, sir.
Well, it's funny you say that. It's one of the first things we told our kids Monday and then Friday after the game is nothing's easy. Nothing's easy in this conference. I think we've got well coached teams, and we didn't almost walk into a hornet's nest. We did walk into a hornet's nest, and we knew it. I think offensively, Litchfield is really dangerous. Mm-hmm. We knew their homecoming, and they got about 12 or 13 seniors. We knew they were going to be fired up. So, you know, for our kids to fight through that and come out with a win, you know, I'm really proud of what they did in finding a way.
Christian Moss. It seems like he's been a Comet for about 12 and a half years, Hutch, but he's finally in his senior season, already over 1,000 yards. Phenomenal football player.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's just one of those kids that is just a hardworking kid, and he's a Comet. It does seem like he's been here for a while, and I'd take him for another 12 if they let us. But you know, he's just a warrior for us, great kid, and a senior leader. And when you mention him, you also have to, I think, mention our offensive line. And Blake Dahl as an extension of that offensive line. I think they've done a great job this year in giving him some room to run. And then he's going to get second and third chance yardage after hits and things like that. So it's been really fun to watch.
Coach, coaching's all about adjusting to the roster and the talent that you have. And you guys, at least, it's the first game I saw you this year, but you're running the ball more than you have the last number of years, it seemed to me.
Yeah, we went through a run where we had really we felt like really talented, skilled guys that could play in space, and it worked for us. You know, we went to, I think, four or five Final Four, mm-hmm. so we could throw it and we could catch it, and we were fast. And, you know, you're right. You just got to evaluate your roster and see what you got, and we felt like we were more of a running-oriented team this year. So we took a trip to Auburn and met with their coaching staff and did some things there, and it's gone well for us. So Coach Cantrell and our offensive staff have done a great job, and we're just going to try to keep getting better each day and keep moving forward.
But you guys are now 4-1, and to me, you've got the best win of the year in the conference, that win at Vandalia back in week two.
Well, our kids played really well and really rose the occasion. You know, and again, I feel like we keep getting better each week, and this past week, it wasn't that we're not getting better. We just played a pretty talented 0-4 team that's better than 0-4, I tell you what. And I think that's a great character win for our kids. So, you know, the Van win was good. They're all good. Last night was a good win. The Piasol win. Each week you can win a football game. It's not easy. You know, it's a good win. So, you know, we're going to break down some film and try to see what we need to do better on defense, and then try to get ready for our next opponent.
Well, your next opponent is Roxana, and you have to go there. That's a long bus ride from Bond County.
It is, you know, and our guys are accustomed to that a little bit, and that's just part of the deal. But, you know, we're hoping it's a little cooler, and we're going to get a good week of practice under our belts. You know, I think they're in a similar situation to what Litchfield was, so they're going to be hungry, and we need to make sure we never overlook an opponent. We didn't last night. We knew what we were going to get. But we need to make sure we take every opponent seriously, which we always do, and just go out and try to find a way to win.
Your conditioning must be in a good spot, Hush, because I did not see any comments cramping up last night.
Well, our trainers do a really good job of, you know, we talk about our kids' hydration and different things like that. You can't just hydrate on Thursday or Friday. That's got to start on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and extend through the whole week. So I think our kids take pretty good care of their bodies. Our training staff does a good job of making sure that happens, and you're right, we stayed cramp free and kept our guys in the game for the most part.
Nice win last night for you, Hutch. Congratulations on the 4-1 start, and best of luck next week at Roxana, sir.
Guys, thanks a lot. Hey, we'd like to, the coaching staff and all of our players, just would like to real quick extend our to Terry Toad,
yes,
just our best wishes. He's always on our minds and a great guy, and we'd love to see him get back, if not basketball, for baseball season.
There you go, Hutch. He'll appreciate that very much. Thank you for the kind words.
Thanks a lot, guys.
The great Todd Hutch is in class act all the way.
Oh, absolutely. Hutchinson. Yeah, and that's just a, you know, supports and just really solidifies what we all think of Hutch and what a great guy he is. Not just a great coach, but just a great person.
Absolutely. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. On the other side, Dave Kane from the State Journal Register.
And we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk. I guess that all depends on who you ask.
But you do know what love is.
I do know what love is.
That's all.
That'd be
matters.
If I'm not a smart man.
That's right. Exactly.
Sometimes
right.
I'm smart, sometimes I'm not.
Hey, oh, welcome to being a human there.
That's right.
Yeah.
It happens.
Cardinal baseball tonight, 5:10 a.m., 1540 FM, 106.9 from Pittsburgh. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, John Michael Marty is broadcasting live from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce festivities today, so we'll catch up with John from 10 until 11 this morning here on FM 106. We're going to make contact with Dave Kane of the State Journal Register. Always great to catch up with Dave, Dan. He has his... always has his finger right on the pulse of the small school, high school sports.
And it really, and exactly right. It doesn't matter what sport it is. He can talk intelligently about any school, about any kid, in any sport. And it's just amazing. And it's his job to do that. But it's a passion that he has for high school kids and high school sports. He represents us all so well and just truly a gem of Central Illinois.
Absolutely. And that's one of those deals to use a Tony La Russa line. There might be somebody better, but he's tied for first.
There you go.
Tied
there
for first.
There you go. And it's a short list of naming who they are.
Yes, it is. And Dave Kane joins us right now on Sports Saturday. Dave, good morning, sir. Thank you for a few minutes of your time.
Oh, no problem. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing very well as we are more than halfway through the high school football season last night. And where were you last night, Dave?
Well, I was across the way from Mr. Newkirk. I was in the opposite press box there at Auburn last night. So, yeah, we were both at the North Mac-Auburn game.
And North Mac-Auburn really has developed into a really nice rivalry here.
Well, yes. You know, since the, you know, I guess it's Girard Burton consolidation, I think it's been maybe 8 or 9 years ago now. And I think, you know, I was looking up the other day, the early, you know, those first few years when North Mac, you know, existed, Auburn usually had the better of it. But then, you know, the last couple of years, North Mac, you know, beat Auburn in a couple close games. And then last night, Auburn turned the tables. But, yeah, it's just, you know, just geographically, it's just a natural rivalry between those two.
You know, talk about the quarterback from Auburn. chances, just he was can spin the ball. I had him personally just south of 500 yards and six touchdowns. When you look around the Sagamore Conference, is he right there with the upper echelon of quarterbacks in that conference?
Well, I mean, your boy, after last night, it's hard to say, you know, that he wouldn't be. You know, he's only a junior. You know, he had an older brother who was their quarterback a couple years ago when they made it to DeKalb, so he kind of grew up in that environment. And Dan, as you saw, you know, he's kind of, you know, he has some, you know, good size. He's kind of lanky. He has good vision. You're right, though. He really, as they say, throws an excellent ball. And he, you know, Auburn with a good group of receivers. Gosh, we've never seen that before.
That's very good.
I mean, some very good athletes to throw to. You know, Bossman and Caden Minch is just a heck of an athlete. And Caden, of course, had an older brother a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the combination of, you know, an up-and-coming quarterback like him and a good stable of receivers, that's what Dave Bates always tries to establish there. So, yeah, Dustin Chance is certainly up there.
The Sagamore Conference at the start of the year, seemingly like they had the last several years, had half their league ranked in some state poll in one way or another. And as we're through 5 weeks now, Dave, I mean, the Sagamore Conference, we know it's a loaded conference. We know it's a great conference. I guess my question is, how good is Williamsville this year?
They are. But, you know, put it this way. Last night, I think they won like 46-7.
Yes.
And Plains actually hung with them for a half. But that was the first so far. And it was 46-7, but that was technically the first time they did not win with a running clock. They didn't quite get that 40-point lead. So they are, you know, Williamsville is just, they're just very good offensively. You know, talking about very good quarterbacks in that conference. Justice Ferrier, you know, second-year starter, very good passer, but he can also run the ball. He's kind of multifaceted. They brought a lot of good receivers back, kind of like Auburn did. And, you know, defensively, they don't maybe get as much credit just because their offense is so impressive, but they have a very good linebacker named DJ Mumaw. They really pursue well. So, you know, I don't know, you know, compared to maybe a few years ago, you know, they made it to the state title game, lost a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it may be still too early to directly compare this team to that team, but they are very good. And I think Dan has mentioned, you know, a lot of people in the Sangamo. I mean, there's a few weeks to go. Some things could happen. Athens still has a couple of other tough games, but week nine, Williamsville does play Athens.
Yeah.
So who knows? That could be a very, very interesting scenario.
And Dave, when we talked to Dan Carlson a couple weeks ago after they went up to Williamsville, he made a very interesting comment about kind of the aura of Williamsville kind of was in their head before they got off the bus. He thought that maybe that's what happened when Aurora played them as well. And, boy, there is something to be said when you have basically a two-touchdown lead before the other team gets off the bus.
Well, I know I can understand what he's talking about. And, you know, if you're a coach, yeah, I think you try everything you can to kind of instill to your kids, hey, you know, they still have 11 guys, we have 11 guys, all of their stuff. But in recent years, Williamsville has really established themselves, you know, as just one of those top 3A programs, you know, in downstate. And, you know, for a few years, I think in the Sangamo, you know, Auburn kind of set, you know, they sort of set the standard, and they still do set a very good standard, but Williamsville, you're right. And you know what? Put in perspective, Williamsville has knocked off Moroa Forsyth mm-hmm. 2 years in a row.
Right.
And there's not many programs, you know, that can say they have done that. But Williamsville, they have a very good JFL program. They get very good numbers out each year. The numbers is a big part of a program, and they have a very stable coaching staff. So they just have a lot of ingredients that have made them just an exceptional program.
Dave Kane of the State Journal Register joining us here on Sports Saturday. I guess, Dave, just kind of maybe some more broad thoughts from you here on the football season, individual players or other teams that have kind of stood out to you through 5 weeks.
Well, you know, I think, you know, Carlinville, I got a chance to see Carlinville last week. And, you know, Jared Easterday is, you know, just has stepped right in there. Of course, he kind of grew up around it. And Carl, you know, he's kind of been at the center of that offense where they've really established a very good passing game, but they've shown that they can still run the ball. So, you know, Jared has had, you know, and Carl, hey, they're 5-0, so that's obviously something that has stood out. And like I said, I think I mentioned earlier, Justice Ferrier has been an exceptional quarterback for Williamsville. Last night, I mean, I know you were talking to Coach Borkowski earlier. I'll be honest, that one surprised me a little bit that South Mac went up to Kincaid and came away with a pretty nice win. Kincaid had been off to a very good start, kind of a new new running attack that they had established. So to go to Kincaid and get a win like that, South Mac, I don't want to say they're a surprise. I think they were very optimistic going in, but that was a big win for them last night. So, and Pena has been very good again, and hopefully Jacob Beeson, their quarterback, will be back soon. He was hurt last week. He's one of those quarterbacks that can just does a little bit of everything in the offense. A lot of their offense goes through him. So, every year there's a lot of good players and maybe some surprise teams or whatever. This year's probably no exception.
And the South Mac being 3-2, I mean, that is fantastic. It reminds me a little bit of the first year of North Mac when Vernon and Gerard came together. You don't really know what to expect when you get a consolidation like that so quickly, but it worked out well for North Mac in their first year and really has every year since, and it sure seems like this Bunker Hill Mount Olive co-op is going to work very well for football.
Right. It's obviously Mount Olive. They've had football maybe a lot longer than Bunker Hill has. Maybe they're a little more history and tradition. And I remember talking to Chuck Cox, former Mount Olive fullback.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's helping with the team. And, he said at the time they thought about doing this, he said it was very emotional because, hey, Mount Olive Wildcats, purple and gold, it's they always say it's the toughest thing to kill is the high school mascot.
Right.
So, it can be an emotional thing, but I think Chuck said, in the bigger picture, we want to give more kids a chance to compete and maybe establish a JV program and all that. So, I think they've done their best to try to split up the home games and split up practices and everything. It's early, but they've gotten off to a good start. I think both on the field and off the field, I think they've tried to do some things together. So the future looks pretty promising for South Mac.
And that's always been the thing with consolidations is you never know exactly how it's going to work out, but in this case it has worked out very well for North Mac. It's worked out very well for South Mac in on and off the field. Dave, we got a couple minutes left with you. Let's get some non-football stuff because you cover everything for the Springfield State. Do you get a day off ever?
I do. Sometimes they're kind of split up. This is probably an example. I mean, I'm actually going to a high school golf thing up here in a while. It's the Sangamon County Tournament, where it's one of the few times like all the big Springfield schools and then the smaller surrounding schools all play together, like Pleasant Plains and so forth. And it's golf weather, man. We're in the fall and it's going to be in the 90s. So there's a lot of other things going on. Volleyball. I know probably Macoupin County is coming up too, but volleyball, the Sangamon County Volleyball tournament starts today, and then it finishes Monday out at Riverton. So there's just a lot of stuff to be squeezed in, and you try to get to as much of it as you can. And I know, speaking of golf, and you have Coach Newkirk there. Postseason starts in a little over a week, so it's hard to believe.
And there's been some great golf played in Montgomery County this year.
When I asked Dan yesterday, I said, what is it about guys named Alex who are good golfers down in Montgomery County? Hillsborough has a couple, and the Purple Panthers have one in Mr. Bishop. So it's been a very good golf season. It's hard to believe they'll be starting in the postseason very soon.
That's right. Football has a tendency to kind of swallow everything else up. But, Dave, you do such a great job of getting all those other sports the coverage that they absolutely deserve. And thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today. Sir, where are you going next week?
To be determined.
Oh, boy.
I'll be honest. I have to sit back and look and see what's on the schedule. I don't know. Maybe I can work in another South Central game or who knows, maybe in a Prairie State game, but the Sangamo is always kind of the premier thing. So we'll take a look at that maybe later today and then get our map out and go from there.
Sounds great. Dave Kane, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Well, hey, and I just want to say, and I know everyone's talked about it, but I want to say again, Terry Tote, I know he's making a lot of progress, and we're all thinking about him and pulling for him, and I know you guys are too.
Absolutely. Thanks for the kind words, Dave.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Dave Kane from the Springfield State Journal Register, as good of a read as you're going to find in a newspaper.
And like I said, just a champion for high school kids and high school sports in our area, and someone that at one point when he ever decides he's going to step down, talk about big shoes to fill.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You never want to be the guy who follows the guy.
The guy that follows the guy, right. Yeah. And that's one guy that his shoes are big, and there's, you know, I'm not sure anyone will do as well as Dave Kane.
Well, I thought I had the show overbooked. We managed to pull it off. How about that? Fun show here this morning on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball tonight, 5:10 a.m., 1540, and FM 106.9. Thanks to all of our area coaches who joined us this morning. Thanks to Dave Kane from the State Journal Register. For David Jenkins and Dan Newkirk, I'm Tim Mize. This is your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.